the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Well, we're joined now by Irish Times sports writer Dennis Walsh to talk about a very important issue for the GAA in Dublin in particular. The availability of space for playing pitches, particularly for expanding clubs. Dennis, this isn't an issue in rural Ireland, really, is it, where there seems to be plenty of available space for playing pitches. But how bad an issue has it become for the GAA in urban areas, particularly in Dublin?
It's a huge issue, Matt, in Dublin. Not so much in the other big urban areas. It's not an issue in Cork, for example, but certainly an issue in Dublin. Clubs just don't, there are so many clubs in Dublin that just don't own their own pitches and don't have enough capacity, even with renting other facilities, are still struggling to provide enough capacity for their players in terms of training and matches.
And clubs in Dublin tend to be very big, don't they, as well, with enormous underage sections in the successful clubs for both boys and girls, which puts enormous demands on the existing playing facilities.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, the GAA has been a huge growth sport in Dublin, Matt, over the last 20 years or so. And as the city grows, you know, the GAA wants to grow in step. And the issue that they have is there's about 414 pitches available for Gaelic games in Dublin, but only 124 of those are owned by clubs. Now, that kind of situation would be, you know, incomprehensible for people in the other 31 counties where, you know, owning your own pitch and owning your own facilities is like a birthright for a GAA club. And, you know, around the country you'll see GAA clubs with 2, 3, 4 pitches, 4G facilities, and, you know, more than enough capacity in many cases for the players that they have. That's not the case in Dublin. We did a piece this week where we focused on two clubs at kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, really, and Nafina, who are the All-Ireland Club hurling champions and have had a lot of success in Dublin over the last 20 years at the highest level. You know, they have 4,000 members, over 200 teams, and, you know, the only bit of ground that they have any real control over is a pitch in front of their clubhouse, which they have a 100-year lease on. Now, the Fianna train or play in 17 or 18 different locations.
Sometimes out as far as near Dublin Airport, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. So they have short-term lease agreements with various third parties. They also use school grounds in their vicinity. And, look, they also use whatever they can in terms of municipal venues, but, you know, they're under pressure. They're under, obviously, with so many players and so many members and so many teams, they're under pressure to give everyone a chance. And the other club that we focus on, Matt, was Ranelagh Gaels, who are a very new club. They're only 25 years old, started off with 24 members and now have 1,500 members. And just like Nafina, they have to go all over the place. They also train and play in 18 different locations. Again, that's the kind of thing that people down the country would just have no comprehension of.
Now, there's a couple of things to this. One is that I suggest they have little or no chance of being able to buy ground that would suit the size of a hurling or Gaelic football pitch and with all the associated netting as well, given the price of land in Dublin City.
Absolutely. I mean, a GAA pitch, Matt, is 3.3 acres just inside the four white lines. That kind of ground in Dublin. One of the people from the Fianna was telling me that there was some land that came on the market recently off Griffith Avenue, and it was going for a guide price of $4.5 million per acre. Now, as you saw during the week, Coola struck oil, really. They managed to do a deal for a 6-acre site on facilities owned by Bective Rangers Rugby Club. That's going to cost them $2 million, but as far as they're concerned, it's an absolutely fantastic deal because they also don't own any ground to call their own. So it's a huge issue, Matt. There was also earlier this year.
Sorry, just Dennis, on that Coola purchase of the Bective Rangers grounds, a few things struck me on that. One was that thankfully it hadn't been rezoned for housing because there's an enormous amount of new housing been built up around Glenamuck Road in Carrick Mines where they have purchased. But if you're going to have all of the housing that's been built, you do need playing facilities for the people who are going to live in the area. So thankfully, that land was still available. But it's not exactly close to Coola and their base in Dalkey, is it? It's at least a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, exactly. But Matt, as things stand, Coola are one of the clubs in Dublin who often use Bray Emmett's facilities in Wicklow, especially during the kind of winter. You know, Bray Emmett's are fantastic floodlit facilities. They have capacity, and clubs from Dublin, including Coola, are regular visitors down there you know, from now on, because, you know, there are no floodlights on those municipal pitches that Cooler would be using. So, you know, Cooler players and members are used to travelling around, unfortunately, and that's just the reality of it.
Municipal pitch, sorry, just before I get to municipal pitches, it's also interesting that Bect have decided to sell. Is that in its own story, perhaps, that rugby is becoming a smaller participation sport and that some of the rugby clubs may not necessarily have need for all the land that they have?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the reasoning is, Matt, or what the motivation is there. I guess when the All-Ireland League started, what, 25 years ago in rugby, like Bective would have been one of the more prominent teams, Wesley, those teams from around Donnybrook direction. The All-Ireland League clearly is not what it was in terms of profile or in terms of, you know, spectator interest and so on. That may be a factor, but as I say, Cooler were very, very grateful to snap it up.
It's actually 35 years, I was just thinking, since the All-Ireland Rugby
yeah.
League came in.
Yeah.
But the other places where pitches are available from also creates interesting points. One is the local authorities, and we'll get to that in a second. But what about schools? Because a lot of schools have their pitches for their own school teams, and they can be used at the weekends. But then you see schools actually selling some of their land for housing and for other reasons to try and raise funds. And also, do the schools necessarily always make land available for clubs?
No, they don't. And again, back to Nafina, Matt, one of the schools that they have had a long-term relationship with recently sold some of their sports grounds, basically. So a pitch that Nafina would have been using is no longer big enough even for a competitive juvenile match. So Nafina and other clubs, many other clubs around Dublin, would have long-term relationships with local schools, and you know, they would use the pitches. Certainly in Nafina's case, from talking to them during the week, they would tend those pitches on behalf of the school. The school teams then obviously would use the pitch, and as a kind of a quid pro quo, Nafina would go in, you know, in the evening time or during the summer time, and use those grounds. So those pitches are absolutely vital. I think 71 of the GA pitches being used in Dublin are owned by religious orders, or educational bodies. So those pitches still have a massive role to play.
And then what about the local authorities? Because shamefully, we've been talking about Ranelagh, which is in Dublin 6, but Dublin 8, just next door, there isn't a single playing pitch for any sport. It's one of the great disgraces of the way the city has developed. And there's generations of children and young adults who have been denied sporting facilities in Dublin 8, and has led to its own social issues. But then the local authorities does have pitches, or the Dublin local authorities have pitches in various locations. And I know this from when they've been providing for football as well. The amount of times when you get a spot of rain and suddenly they're shut down for the weekend.
Yeah, that's an issue across the board, Matt. Which I certainly would have heard it this week from talking to J clubs in Dublin. Games can be called off on a Friday. Just, you know, we say pitches closed for the weekend and that's it. Like, you know, down the country or in all the other GA counties, a match would be called off by the referee on a case-by-case basis. So if a pitch was good enough to take the rain or whatever, the game would just go ahead. And that's not the case with municipal pitches. There would be kind of a blanket call made if the weather was bad. Look, that's one of the things about local authority pitches, Matt. You kind of, there's, you know, the clubs aren't even allowed to cut the grass. You know, they can request the grass to be cut and so on, but they don't have any agency. It's just they enter into an annual licence to use the pitches, but, you know, the pitches obviously don't belong to them.
Dennis, just to finish up, I don't see many solutions here, because land is the one thing that you can't actually manufacture or make.
Yep.
And is this going to restrict the growth of Gaelic games in Dublin, which has had a boom time in recent decades, particularly with more and more children becoming involved and more women becoming involved, that we could actually find that an artificial ceiling is placed on the growth of Gaelic games in Dublin because of the shortage of playing facilities?
Absolutely. And this is an issue that the Dublin County Board and Croke Park are acutely conscious of. They would see municipal facilities as the only reasonable solution. 4G pitches are going to have to be a massive part of any solution going forward. The Croke Park mentioned to me about Sport England's approach to this. Sport England have a planning unit which deals with local authorities all over the UK, and they have a 6-acre standard. And so the metric is for every 1,000 units of new housing, there has to be 6 acres of recreational facilities, and 4 acres of that must be playing pitches. Now, there is no such standard in the Irish planning system. And, you know, Croke Park would very much see something along those lines as being vitally important as Dublin expands and as new builds grow all over the place.
Thank you so much. Dennis Walsh, sports writer with the Irish Times.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.